Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Take a big breath. Oh, we're going to be so pretty in blue today. And take it up. And take it down.
Okay, everyone, you know that sound. It's time to jazzercise.
Boogieing now. Yeah. You got it. So move it, for heaven's sake. Yeah. Yeah. Now sign.
This month marks 50 years since the leotard and leg warmer clad dance aerobic craze kicked off. That is a tongue twister. And although today it's often seen as goofy or a colorful anachronism, maybe with embarrassing catchphrases about boogie bodies, when its first class was held in 1969, there was something radical about it. Up to then, spaces designed for women not just to lose weight, but built to build strength, to increase fitness, and enjoy doing it, they really didn't exist. Clearly, there was a market for it, and in the mid-1980s, around the time that Jane Fonda was coming out with her aerobic workouts, Jazzercise was the second fastest-growing franchise in America. Number one, by the way, was Domino's Pizza. We'll get to that. Though Jazzercise has waned since its heyday, and despite criticism that it did more to perpetuate sexist beauty standards than to dismantle them, the cultural shift that led it and its pioneering business model that lives on today in fitness franchises like Curves and SoulCycle. Dr. Natalia Petrozella is an associate professor of history at the New School, and her forthcoming book is Fit Nation: How America Embraced Exercise as the Government Abandoned It. Her article, The Fitness Craze That Changed the Way Women Exercise, appeared in The Atlantic earlier this month, and she joins me now to talk about it. Natalia, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And listeners, we want to hear if you have taken a Jazzercise class, or maybe you still do. Tell us why. Tell us where you take it. Is it about fitness, or is there more to it? You can give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. Again, that's 212-433-9692. We want to hear about your experiences with Jazzercise. I have to say that when they told me we're going to do this segment, I thought, what an unusual 50th anniversary. When you're talking about all these anniversaries that are happening this year, when we talk about Jazzercise, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, I think a lot of people today think about it kind of like a joke, like it's the ultimate 80s thing. And one, they're surprised that it's still around.
And also surprised it came from 1969.
Absolutely. It seems really early when we think about, yeah, you know, the high moment in aerobics fitness, which was the 1980s. But I think what's so interesting about it is that Jazzercise was exercise for women in a moment when women were really not encouraged to exercise and certainly not for fun. So if you look at some of the literature from the 1960s, like the advice books for women, they literally say things like, here's how to get slim for your husband. Like the idea that a woman would go to the gym at all,
right,
and would do so for herself and to have fun was a very alien concept. And so Jazzercise was one of the first to say, you know, put some flair in your fitness, do
right
it for you, which sounds a little cheesy today, but really was a big deal.
I mean, when I hear Jazzercise, the first image that comes to my mind is Jane Fonda in a leotard. Is that accurate?
It's accurate that she's associated with that, and she also did cardio dance. But I mean, Jane Fonda founded her workout studio in 1979, so that's a full 10 years after Jazzercise started. So it's true that Jane Fonda, because VHS was so big for her, because she was already a huge celebrity, she, you know, Jazzercise probably benefited from the popularity of Jane Fonda's workout. But I think Jazzercise gets a bad rap when we kind of like eliminate those early 10 years, because she really, Judy Massette, the founder, really did a lot to put it on the map.
And again, listeners, we want to hear your experiences with Jazzercise, past or present. The number is 212-433-9692. Again, 212-433-WNYC. Let's talk about the founder, Jessica, yeah, Shepherd Missett. Who was she before Jazzercise?
Yeah, Judy Shepherd Missett. She was a Northwestern graduate, so a very well-educated woman. She was a dancer. She'd grown up always thinking that she wanted to move, and she was teaching dance in Chicago at a much more traditional dance studio. And the way she tells the story is that she would teach to these young girls, and she'd see their mothers kind of sitting on the sidelines. And she thought, what could I do to have these women be as uninhibited as their young daughters, or as uninhibited as like a professional like me. And so then, she was a young woman with a small family in Chicago, and she started it and moved to California in the moment when there was a lot of kind of excitement around wellness and health and in the early 1970s. And the rest is, history that might not be widely known. But
well, what did the fitness industry look like before Jazzercise?
Before Jazzercise in the 1960s, it was still very male dominated. It was only in the late 1960s that what we think of today as cardio became popularized. There was this famous book in 1968 by this Dr. Kenneth Cooper, and it was called Aerobics, but not what you're thinking. And he basically introduced the idea that exercise could be something and should be something other than lifting weights or than calisthenics, which was sort of like group gym.
Stretching,
et cetera.
Stretching your toes.
Yeah. And so that would end up opening the arena in a really big way for women. Because before, you did have places that advertised slenderizing and reducing. And that's sort of a precursor to today's women's fitness, but it was totally like part of the beauty industry more than part of the sports or fitness industry.
So then how did it spread beyond the classes that Missette was teaching?
So when she moved to Southern California, she was teaching so many classes that she almost lost her voice. And there were others too teaching similar things. There's an East Coast program called aerobic dancing that was founded just about the same time. But the story of Jazzercise is that she decided to franchise after an accountant told her, this would be, you can't have 1,000 employees, teaching one class a pop. And so she did that. And I think that's actually a really important part of this history because, yes, it's about what was important about Jazzercise is like the liberation for women and their bodies in the classes, but it also became a form of kind of economic independence for women. You had all of these women franchisees teaching classes, starting franchise businesses in a moment when that was very hard, particularly if you were a homemaker or if you had children. And I think that's an important part of this story, too.
Well, that goes to in the intro when I was talking about how it was the second fastest growing franchise in the 80s after Domino's Pizza. Should we be surprised, or does it actually say sort of something about the codependence that exists in this society between eating pizza and then exercising?
Oh, my gosh, totally. Well, it's a much bigger conversation than Jazzercise. Yeah. But if you think about the rise of fast food and processed food, really, it's like since 1980 that has grown so dramatically in this country. And with it, all of these health problems that we have, whether it's obesity or other problems of ill health. So I don't think that it's a coincidence that you have the rise of very unhealthy food and the rise of a business saying, well, we can help you fix that, right? And so Jazzercise is definitely part of that.
Let's go to one of our callers, Jean from Brooklyn. Hello, Jean. Welcome to All of It.
Hi. I just can't say enough good things about Jazzercise.
How long have you been doing it for?
I got introduced to it in Houston, Texas in 2006. I was home in Houston taking care of my mother who needed help. And I think like many New Yorkers kind of looked down on it. Mm-hmm. And it saved my life. It's the best exercise routine. And I want to really emphasize, kind of advertise for it, that it's current. It's absolutely the most currently accurate and up-to-date exercise that I've encountered in 30 years of exercising. And it's not really very accessible in New York, but So I actually don't do it here, but I really miss it. And every time I travel anywhere, I go
find a class.
Jazzercise.
Jean, thank you very much. We really appreciate hearing about your experiences with it. Deborah in Scarsdale, you were a fan of Jazzercise as well.
Yes, I was a Jazzercise fiend for years in Scarsdale. I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. I would cancel lunch dates if they scheduled a special class so I could go. And I love the director of our center. I still do, Alicia. And she switched over for some reason to Shine On. And I just never felt the same connection to that program. It was a little too much dance and less aerobics for me. Mm-hmm. And I found the routines very complicated. And I'm pretty nimble, but, I don't know. Jazzercise just made more sense. The muscle memory was there. And I stopped, and I wish there was still a center in Scarsdale. I know there's one in Westchester, but it's pretty far for me, and I have kids, and I just can't drive 30 minutes back and forth regularly for an exercise class. So I found an alternative recently that I really do like. It's taken a long time. It's taken me like 2 years
to find something. Thank you very much. I'm glad you found an alternative. Natalia, I want to ask you, how... Are there any concerns you have about like perpetuating stereotypes about women's bodies that may have come through in jazzercise, or is it more about self-empowerment like you were talking about?
Well, okay, so if you go back to the early days of jazzercise and you look at the first book that Judy Massette wrote, because she has a new one out this month, it's totally part of a more overtly weight loss related culture. Like, it's about slimming and midriff minimizing. And I think that also she is thin and blonde and white. And so you see that as part of the aesthetic. But I do think today, like some of the callers emphasized, it actually feels much more inclusive and sort of body positive than a lot of what's out there.
So much to talk about this. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we're going to have to leave it there.
Sure.
With Dr. Natalia Petrozella, who is an associate professor of history at the New School. She's also the author of the forthcoming book, Fit Nation, How America Embraced Exercise as the Government Abandoned It. Her article, The Fitness Craze That Changed the Way Women Exercise, appeared in The Atlantic earlier this month. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
You are listening to All of It on WNYC. Stay with us. We will soon be talking with Joe Nocera about his podcast, The Shrink Next Door, and so much more. Thanks for listening.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.